Amen. We had a president once that described himself as the decider. I want you to know God is the forgiver. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's forgiven? I always hate to hear somebody say, what I've done is too bad. God can't forgive it. I tell them, you know, what you're saying is there's one sin that Jesus' blood on the cross wasn't powerful enough for. But I don't believe that. I believe his blood shed on the cross can wash away all sin. Hallelujah. How many loves your forgiver this morning? Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. He has forgiven me. He has forgiven me. Hallelujah. He's cleared the record. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be in God's house with God's people and be feeling God's Spirit? Amen. It's so good to see everyone on this Labor Day weekend. We're especially honored to have Brother David's mother. Good to have you. Amen. This morning. And we got some folks coming home. Good to have Jake and Jess here with us. And got all my kids here. And got other of our kids here. I told them that's a term of endearment. Good to have Jared and Katie. And the Renters have a guest with them. Good to have her. And just good to have everybody. Good to have these young men been coming in, setting up here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe you brought a guest and I haven't spotted you yet. We're just glad you're here. Anyone? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord has been so rich in the services. And that's the only thing I'm interested in, and I think you are too, is that the power of Christ be felt. Talent doesn't change lives. Oratory doesn't change lives. Only the power of Christ can change lives. And I believe he's here. I believe Christ is here through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you turn to your Bibles, we've been in a series in Revelation, but we're going to do a communion meditation this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And as you're turning, be sure and get a bulletin. And this week, there's the picnic tomorrow, and there's some information there. And then, and I'm doing this by faith, I better look. Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock is prayer meeting. And then Tuesday evening is youth nursing home ministry. And, of course, Wednesday night we have our family worship night. And then Friday, I want to encourage everyone that will, especially our leaders. Brother Sloggett is going to be doing some outreach seminars out at the camp. Got a little ring up here, brother. And I'd like to encourage you. We'll take a van. We'll leave about 6 to get there. And then Saturday at 9 is Senior Saints breakfast. Amen. So a lot of things to be involved in with the people of God. Praise the Lord. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, and though all of this is good, and I'd like to share all of it, what Paul has to say, I just want to focus on one thought this morning. We'll begin reading in verse 19, and Paul says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God?" And here's the hinge of the whole message this morning. And he's asking it as a question, but he's asking it in a way that he's making a declaration. He said, "What, do you not know that ye are not your own?" Would you read that last part with me? Ye are not your own. Or we'd say in Oklahoma, y'all are not your own. Okay, all the Kentuckians understood me. Verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price." Now here's a conclusion. That's what the word therefore means. In conclusion, considering all that, that means we should glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There are people that Satan has control of, but God never intended it to be that way. We're God's. We're not the world's. We're not sin. We belong to God. Hallelujah. I want to entitle this one word this morning, owned. Owned. We could put it that way. We are owned. Hallelujah. Oh, we ought to be shouting, you are not your own. What that means, your future's not your own. Your problems aren't your own. Your troubles aren't your own. Your mountain's not your own. Your vow, your own this morning. Let's praise him. Would you lift your hands? Let's praise him. Lord, move this morning. Jesus, I pray that you'd be glorified. I pray that you would be uplifted. I pray that the good news of the gospel would go forth in power and might this morning. I pray, Lord, you'd change somebody's life by the revolutionary power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, take the feeble words that I speak and be in them and speak to and address hearts. And may we realize this wonderful truth that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. In the name of Jesus, amen. And all God's people said, amen. I'm always a little reluctant to use the modern jargon because you get a certain age, it's kind of like the mosquito ringtone. You can't hear it, and so you get a certain age and you don't really fully understand the jargon that it's in the common vernacular of the young people. But I've heard a lot this expression lately about owning somebody, and I know those things cover a spectrum from just common talk to sometimes they have innuendo and significance and connotation, and I'm not going there, but I've heard that expression of owning somebody. In fact, I've heard it in sports. One guy gets trash talking and he points and he says to the opposing counterpart on the other team, he says, "I'm going to own you. I'm going to own you." I've seen a debate, and when it was all done, somebody touting the one they were for said, "Boy, he just owned the other guy. He owned him." That means he controlled them. He dominated. He was in control. Amen. Well, you know, Jesus has a claim on every person. And Jesus can accurately say, "I own you. I own you." Hallelujah. Some people take that as a bad thing. You would discover that the most wonderful thing, just to let him own you completely and totally. I want to tell you, church, I've stopped trying to sell Jesus as a fixer-upper. Sell Jesus as one that can repair all your problems. I've always felt a little queasiness in my heart when folks try to sell Jesus as the best high you've ever had, better than drugs and whiskey. I don't take that approach anymore. I don't even want to try to sell Jesus as the answer to every problem, or the way to the best you, or the way to prosperity. You see, I don't try to sell Jesus that way because we don't need Jesus so we can feel better. And we don't need Jesus so we can have more things. And we don't need Jesus so we can experience new highs. We need Jesus because we're lost and we cannot save ourselves and we're perishing and our sins are destroying us and we're on the way to hell. We need Jesus because only he can set us free from sin and deliver us. I don't need to feel better. I need to be set free. And by the way, when you get set free, you will feel better. Hallelujah. And when you are delivered, that is better than anything you can experience in this world. But Jesus isn't just here to fix my every little problem. He's here to deliver me from my biggest problem. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad he can do it? Hallelujah. I was talking to a lady about her soul just recently. And I had prayed all day before talking to her. And I said I wanted to have the right words as I prayed to God. And finally, when I got the opportunity to talk with her, I looked at her and said, "I'm not going to tell you. Give your life to Jesus and he'll fix everything that's wrong with your life. And give your life to Jesus and you'll go to heaven and not go to hell." And I said, "All those things are true." But I said, "I'm not going to tell you that." I said, "What I'm going to tell you is that Jesus has dibs on your life." And she looked at me and began to laugh. But then her laughing turned to crying as she said, "Did you just say Jesus has dibs on my life?" And I wasn't sure, maybe she'd, you know, that's not a word we all use all the time. And so I decided I'd explain it a little bit. And I said, yes, Jesus has dibs on your life. First of all, he is your creator. He created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But second of all, not only did he create you, but he died to purchase you from Satan. He died to purchase you from sin. And so, yes, I'm looking at you and telling you, you need to give your life to him. Because he's got a claim on you. He purchased you. I want you to know, church, he purchased us with his own blood. And that's why he can look at us this morning and say, I own you, and I own you, and I own you. The only thing about it is, are you going to be a thief or not? Are you going to let him own you? Or are you going to take his property and give it and put it somewhere else? I'm telling you, since he owns us, let's let him own us. Hallelujah. Let's let him be in control. Let's let him be Lord of our life. Let's let him be king and master. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the price. Paul mentioned the price. He said in verse 20, you are bought with a price. You see, we're going to have communion here in a little bit, Brother Cruz. And communion ought to be a constant reminder that we have been bought with a price. And you know, the fact of the matter is, something that has been bought belongs to the buyer. Amen. We have been bought with a price. My wife's one that looks at the receipt every time we go anywhere. I got a basic idea in my head what it should cost, and unless it's extreme one way or the other, I don't pay attention to that thing. I mean, how boring is life to sit around and read receipts? I think I'll read some receipts, you know. And especially if I've done the shopping, I get in the car, let me see that receipt. And she goes over with a fine-tooth comb, and good thing, I mean, because I miss things, and she catches them. But she'll start looking at that receipt, and she'll say, what did you pay for whatever? I said, I don't know. We need it, didn't we? We're here at the store. Yeah, I got it. What did you pay for that? And she's asking, what did you pay for what you got? When Paul talks about this price, he's talking about what Jesus paid for what he got. And sometimes we make the statement, we realize the buyer's remorse sets in, and we say, I paid too much for this or that. I want to tell you something wonderful about our Lord. He did pay an extremely great price. Oh, hallelujah. But he's never had buyer's remorse. Can you think about it? Every time a soul says, you died for me, I'm giving my life wholly to you, he says, yes. Yes, he's never had buyer's remorse. Amen. God never says, I paid too much for that one, or I paid too much for this one. He never does that. Amen. I do think we ought to ask ourselves the question in our way of thinking, can we really say that God got a good deal when he paid for me? Can you ask yourself that question? Did God get a good deal when he paid for me? When he paid that price for me? Did he get a good deal? And I think you feel like I do. Amen. How could he pay such a price for a life like mine? How could he pay such a price for someone like me? How could he pay that awful price? But I want to tell you, he don't look at it that way. He looks at it, I purchased him with my own blood. And for them to spend eternity with me in heaven and let me redeem them and change them and give them new life, it was worth every drop of blood that I paid. I'm telling you, he paid an awful price that should make us not only grateful, that should make us not only wanting to praise him, it should make us desirous to let him be our Lord and Master, ruling and controlling our lives. And so this morning, when we partake of these elements, let's remember he paid a great price. I just want to tell you straight up, I've always felt that backsliding is the ultimate ingratitude. To know that Jesus paid such a price as the song used to say, that I could still go free. And then to turn from serving him. What ingratitude. But I'm telling you, it's the grateful life that says, he purchased me. What a price. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to live for him. And then I want to talk about what we've been alluding to. Because of the price, there is the possession. Paul says in verse 19, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own. You'll hold these elements of communion in a little bit, and they don't just represent the price that Jesus paid for us, but they also represent that having paid that price, he possesses us. He owns us. And so our reaction shouldn't just be, oh, what an awful price Jesus paid for my salvation. Our reaction should be, since he paid that price, I belong to him. I want to tell all of us something this morning. You don't belong to you. That's revolutionary to the thinking of our world. Our world says, you know, you owe it to yourself. You know, do what you want to do. Follow your heart. You know, you are in charge of your own life. But I'm telling you, that goes diametrically against the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is you don't belong to you. You belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. He is in control. You are his possession. Many others did too, but Micah was helping me move a few weeks back, and I got to joking him. You know, he's in the military, and we'd get something real heavy, and I'd ask him how he's doing if it's too heavy. Yeah, Dad, why? I said, because I don't want to harm United States property. I don't want to be in trouble for hurting United States property. Hallelujah. I guarantee you one thing, when he went through basic training, that sergeant never looked at him and said, did you ever have this experience when you were in basic training, what, boot camp, which you went to? The sergeant said, if you don't mind, if it would inconvenience you, would you mind to do this for me? No, he spoke, and you did it, because you're United States property. We've been bought with the price. This shouldn't be this haggling with the Lord and dealing and bargaining with the Lord. I'll serve you if you'll make me popular, and I'll serve you if you'll give me riches, and I'll serve you if it's an easy. There shouldn't be in this bartering with the Lord. It should just be, I'm property of Jesus Christ. He says, live this way, I'm going to live it. He says, do this, I'm going to do it. He says, don't. Oh, because he's Lord. He's paid the price. He possesses me. We try to appeal to people to serve Jesus just so they can miss hell and make heaven. And though there's truth in that, but that's not really why we should serve Jesus. We should serve Jesus because he has a claim on our life. They should serve Jesus because he purchased them. He bought them. They are his. And I want us to get this morning. When Jesus purchased you, and I could say me, but when Jesus purchased you, it wasn't a partial purchase. When he purchased you, he purchased all of you. Hallelujah. So many people act like Jesus made a partial purchase. He said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He bought the whole package, body, soul, mind, spirit. He bought it all. I mean, how many of you, if you went to the car lot looking for a car, and finally you say, I want that one right there, and you went in, filled out the paper, and you wrote the check for the sticker price, amen, $15,000, got ready to leave. Instead of handing you the keys, they handed you a wagon with the wheels. And you look at them and say, what's this? Well, that's all you get to take home. Well, didn't I buy the car? Well, yeah, you paid the price for the car, but we're only going to let you take the wheels home. Isn't that ridiculous? Sounded wiser in my head when I was trying to, but wasn't that ridiculous? I mean, when you pay the price for that car, you want to leave that lot with the whole car. But there are so many people acting like Jesus made a partial purchase.
Lord, you died for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You paid the price. I'll give you Sunday, but not Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Amen. Like he made a partial. You know, Lord, I worship in church, but I'm going to do my thing out there in that world. Amen. Lord, I love you. I sing the songs at church, but when I get out there, amen, my time is my time. I'll listen to whatever music I want to listen. I'll be involved in whatever. I want to tell you, when he purchased us, it was not a partial purchase. He bought all of us. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, he didn't just buy the rights to you after you die. He bought the rights to you while you're alive too. He didn't just buy your church time. He bought your work time, your leisure time, your home time. He didn't just buy your spirit time. He bought your body too. Wherefore glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. Now you can take that as a negative thing, but I take that as great consolation. I am his. Hallelujah. Andrew doesn't have to worry about buying his clothes. He doesn't have to worry about buying his utilities or anything. Why? He belongs to me. So I take care of him. Sandra and I take care of him. I'm telling you, if we belong to him, he's going to take care of us. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if we got that or not. You know, I think you ought to take care of something as if it were yours, even though it's not. But you know, that's one of the consolations about renting a house or renting a car. And I'm not here to get into financial debate about that. I just want to tell you, there are some great consolations to renting your home. Amen. One of the kids called me, Hannah called me a while back and said, you know, we're having this and this problem, you know, with the house. I said, call your landlord. He's the one who owns it. Right? You rent a car, you ought to take care of it like it's your own. But I guarantee if you've rented a car and you break down on the highway, you're not sweating, how am I going to pay for this thing? You get on the phone as quick as you can. You call that rental company because it's their car. Yes, you're using it, but it's their car. I want to tell you, amen, he's given a stewardship of our lives, but ultimately we're his. And when there's a problem, why don't you just call the landlord? When there's a problem, call that dealership. Amen. Because God owns us. Isn't it a consolation to know that your problems are his problems? What you're up against, he's up against it. Hallelujah. Because we are his. And I want to finalize that point by simply saying we need to give Jesus as much of us as he's bought. Oh, hallelujah. Let's have church while we're here. Oh, if we could get this from young on, we could live in victory. We need to give Jesus just as much of us as he has bought. And I want you to know, he bought it all. Amen. Last of all, Paul talks about a purpose, the price, the possession, the purpose. He said, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There's a current American idea of Christianity that you can customize your belief to accommodate any way you want to live and still be a Christian. They really believe that. They're taught that. You pick and choose and you customize your faith to accommodate. Listen, people are cheating themselves. I don't want a faith that accommodates the way I live. I want a faith that changes the way I live. I don't want to believe in something that accommodates my thinking. I want to believe in something that raises my thinking. Hallelujah. But there's that belief, you know, you just pick and choose and customize. And people come to church for their little weekly spiritual massage. And then they want to go out and just live the way they wish the rest of the week. And they think that it settles the argument to simply say, well, I believe or I think or in my opinion. That settles it. No, that doesn't settle it. It's what the book says that settles it. But I'm trying to preach a deeper thing. I mean, we don't get this just to get a
feel good feeling and to get fire insurance. I'm telling you, it's not about just what we get. It's about what God has gotten. And when we realize he paid a good price and he possesses us, suddenly our life is not to live the way we see fit. Our life is to live for his glory. And I'm telling you, how can that be a great thing? Because if you live for yourself, you're living for something pretty low. You're living on a horizontal plane. You're living in a natural carnal lane that never goes very far. But I'm telling you, if you can realize you're his and you begin to live for his glory, you're living for something bigger than you are. You're living for something that's eternal. You're living for something that's going to go on when the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. Live for God's glory. Without meaning to, I've been beating the drum lately of people just go by their feelings and live by impulse and feeling. And then they wonder why they live such a low, discouraging life. Live for something that's bigger than you are. Live for his glory. That changes tomorrow at work. You're going to work for his glory. Hallelujah. Mom, you're washing clothes for his glory. You didn't know how good it was. Young people, you're studying for his glory. I'm talking about a mindset. I'm his. Hallelujah. This world's going to know that he possesses me. They're going to see who owns me. Hallelujah. Oh, why would somebody rise up? I mean, the world is saying that. Satan's saying that. Sin's saying it's looking at every young person, every person's going to say, I own you. That's what Satan's saying. I own you. I own you. And you can let him own you if you want to. But you ought to look back and say, no, Satan, you don't own me. Jesus died to redeem me from you. He purchased me. You don't own me, Satan. Jesus. And because of that, I'm going to live for his glory. I'm not going to live for self-gratification. I'm not going to live for carnal and material things. I'm not going to live for momentary pleasures. I'm going to live for the glory of God. Because when those pleasures are gone, in eternity, 100 years from now, I'll be in his presence, magnifying his name. Sometimes people have done great favors and will say, I owe you my life. Or if we want to be cool, I owe you, man. Or I owe you one. But to God, we ought to look at him and say, I'm forever in your debt. What can I do for you? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Therefore, being owned by Jesus is not an obligation. It's a gratitude. Hallelujah. We can never adequately repay the Lord for what he's done, but we can show our gratitude by giving ourselves to him. I do want to make one textual note before we find a place to close here. But specifically when he says glorify God and you're possessed by God, he's talking about our bodies. And if you look at the context, he was talking about people who took their bodies and did sinful acts with them. And he's saying, you think because your spirit saved that you can just do what you want to with your body. But when Jesus died, he didn't just die to save your spirit. He died to save all of you. And your body's his too. And that's what he says. He's talking about bodies specifically. And so I want us to think about it. The next time you're involved in a sinful act, you're using Jesus' body to do something sinful. Didn't he buy your body? You know what Paul said? When you look at something you shouldn't look at on that internet, you're using his eyes to look at that filth. When you listen to music that stirs up carnality, you're using his ears. Is anyone going to help me preach this morning? Didn't he say, your body, glorify God with your body, which is Christ? When you use your ears to listen, you're using His ears. Amen. Amen. You're using His body to do those things. When you use your tongue to tear down other folks and hurt them, you're using His tongue to do that. When you use your mind to think those thoughts, you're using His mind. I've got a better way. Paul's got a better way. Instead of using your body, His body, for those things of the world, use His body. Use your mouth to say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Use your ears to hear His word. Use your arms to lift and worship and praise. Amen. Use your voice to tell somebody the good news that'll change your life. Oh, what a relief. What a burden's taken off. I'm not my own. I've been bought with the price. Whether it's my body, my spirit, my mind, my emotions, I will glorify Him. That's my purpose. Hallelujah. I've heard a lot of folks lately, and I'm not talking about just in the church, but they talk about how hard it is to serve God. Can we leave it with another sermon to say, as you've been hearing me say, I'm afraid we're raising a nation of wimps. Anytime anything gets a little hard, people quit. Throw in the towel. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But I hear a lot of folks talk about how hard it is to serve God. But I tell you what, when people really realize what it means to be redeemed, you won't have to beg them and baby them to serve God. They'll be raring to serve God. You take a person that really realizes what it is to be redeemed, brought out from sin, delivered from sin, forgiven from sin, bought back from this world and all its bond. You show me a person that really realizes what it is to be redeemed, and you'll never have to beg them to come to church. Amen. Oh, they'll want to glorify God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, folks, it's just so hard to serve the Lord. But I want you to know, you need to consider something. This communion service, it was much harder for Him to redeem you than it will ever be for you to serve Him. Think about that. It was much harder for Him to purchase you than for you to live for His glory. But we don't serve Him, Brother Brock, because we get a good feeling. We serve Him because He purchased us. He is Lord. He is Master. We don't have to be pampered. We don't have to be cajoled. We don't have to be badgered. We don't have to be harangued. He is our Lord, and we serve Him in gratitude. We don't serve Him because He just blesses our socks off. We don't serve Him because it's easy. We don't serve Him just to miss hell. We serve Him because He owns us. Hallelujah. He has redeemed us, and it's time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. I have been set free. I have been purchased. Therefore, I will serve Him. Make no mistake. We are not begrudging servants and slaves. We are loved slaves. Hallelujah. And we say with the old song, I will serve you not because I have to. I will serve you because I love you and you have given life to me. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah, hallelujah. No more pampering, no more baby. Just I'm going to serve Him because He bought me. And I want to bring glory to His name in all that I do. Would you come, music? In the end, the decision's never between serving God or doing our own thing, living our own life. Get this. The decision's never, am I going to serve God or am I going to do my own thing? The decision's always between serving God or serving sin and serving Satan. But I want to remind you in the words of Paul, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 Some have watched the Antique Roadshow. I know you young people, that's your favorite program. Mom, Dad, would you tape that so I can watch that when I get home after I get my homework done? They'll have an old chair there. You'll look at that chair and say, there ain't $5 of material in that chair. I wouldn't put that on my back porch. And the guy will look at the one that brought it in and say, do you have any idea how much this is worth? No, not really. Grandpa's great uncle's aunt gave it to me and just been in the shed all this time. Well, we've done some research, and that chair belonged to Winston Churchill. In your mind, what has already started happening to the price of that thing? You ought to be sitting up higher in the pew right now. Do you have any idea what this is worth? He belongs to God. Hallelujah. Young person, Satan will try to make you feel worthless.
Right.
Like you're worth nothing. Everybody's better than you. You got to remember something. If you allowed him to, he owns you. That changes your worth in a quick hurry. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not talking about ego. I'm talking about fact right here. He purchased us with a great price. Amen. Do you have any idea how much it's worth? Well, let me tell you, it is worth this amount. The eyes get big. The mouth falls open. The person begins to stutter. Wow. How much did you say? Wow, I had no idea. Do you know how much it's worth? Jesus shed his blood. Hallelujah. Wow, how much do you say that I'm worth? Jesus died for you. Wow, I had no idea. I was so loved. I had no idea. I mean, I've been using that chair as a stepladder when I paint. I had no idea. I'm not going to use it as a stepladder to paint anymore. I'm not going to store it out in the shed anymore. Now that I know what it's worth, I'm going to take out more insurance on it. I'm going to have it refinished. I'm going to move it into the house in an honored place. Wow, I had no idea how much Jesus paid for me. I've been using my body and my mind in the sin, in the filth, in the dark. Oh, but now I know how much I'm worth to him. No more using myself like that. I'm moving into the Father's house. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, to a place that shows my value. If you're glad he purchased you this morning, would you stand and lift your hands and worship him and say, yes, Jesus, you own me. You own me. You own me, Lord. You own my troubles. You own my life. I wish somebody just surrender right now. Say, Lord, you bought me. I'm tired of living my life the way I please. I'm stealing from you. I want you to hear me one more time. Keep worshiping. You live your life just the way you please. You're stealing from God. Your body's not your own. Your spirit's not your own. Your future's not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are the Lord's. Hallelujah. Oh, how do you feel his presence here? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you've not yet acknowledged that Jesus is Lord of your life, that he has purchased your salvation. I would encourage you during this communion service, afterwards you can come to these steps we use as an altar. But I would encourage you during this communion service to say, Lord, I get it. I get it. You died to purchase me. And this morning, I'm going to acknowledge that. I'm going to give you my life, my heart, my future, my dashed dreams, my brokenness. I'm going to give it all to you, Lord, because it's truly your possession. And I'm not going to live for myself from this day on out. I'm going to live for your glory. Hallelujah. Are you living for his glory? Oh, hallelujah. I even like the sound of that word. Are you living for his glory? How's it sound? Are you living for money? Are you living for materialism? Are you living for carnal pleasure? How does that sound compared? Are you living for his glory? Amen. Oh, you are not your own. As the servers come one more time, lift your hands and say, I'm not my own, God. I'm yours. Let me hear you across the room. I'm not my own, God. I'm yours. Come on, tell him. Amen. Lift your problems up to him right now. I'm not my own, God. I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All that I've got. All that I'm not. Hallelujah. I'm yours, Lord.
completely and totally. Hallelujah. As we serve this supper, say, Lord, I'm going to give you everything of me that you've bought. I'm going to give you everything of me that you bought. Hallelujah. Continue to worship the Lord as you're seated and as we serve you. Amen. You that are visitors, we invite everybody that professes a faith in Christ to participate in the Lord's Supper with us. We just ask that you wait till everybody's been served. We'll partake together. Children, we allow children who have confessed a relationship with the Lord, profess that. Even if they've talked it over with their parents, you partake of communion, but we'll wait till we can all partake together. God bless you.
Of shame, a place of misery. But when that cross held Jesus, as he took his final breath, it became an emblem of my liberty. I love the cross. God for that old tree.